Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon. On this Wednesday afternoon, how are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Now, June was on with us yesterday. We had a long chat. She's from County Clare and she goes swimming every day just after 9 o'clock in the sea off Spanish Point. And it's helped her grieving after she lost her husband tragically 10 years ago. Anne has been on the back of that and she sent us an email to ray@rte.ie. I listened to your interview yesterday with the lady June about sea swimming and grief. My husband died suddenly 2 years ago and I can honestly say if it was not for the healing powers of the sea, I'm not sure if I would have survived the past 2 years. When I enter the sea, it's like the water wraps around me and comforts me. It's healing for body and soul, and I would recommend anybody grieving to give it a try. It's the only place where I find peace and comfort. I read recently where another woman has written a book about the sea helping her with her grief. Thanks for your time. Regards, Anne. Anne, if you get the name of that book, we'd love to talk to that woman. So if you're listening, ray@rte.ie, but you know that already because you sent us that email. Now, a few years back, we spoke to Sister Helen Culhane, and she operates the Children's Grief Centre in Limerick. An amazing woman, and she has helped over 2,000 children who have travelled from all over the country to seek help. She's pictured in the Irish Times today, and she's saying that the Grief Centre, the Children's Grief Centre, is planning to double the number of children it can help with the formal opening of a new premises in Limerick. She said the need is great when it comes to dealing with the grief of children who've lost a loved one close to them and those children who are in the midst of a family whose parents are separating or divorcing. She and her volunteers have worked hard to ensure they could have a specially dedicated centre now open in Limerick City. And Anthony Foley's wife, Olive, was there. And she has two sons, Tony and Dan, and she's quoted in the paper saying, "It was very sudden. I had two little grieving children aged 8 and 11 at the time. I was in complete shock and grieving myself and I really needed help." And she said that Sister Helen was there and she said took over from there. She was there and she took over from there, the Children's Grief Centre. They're doing amazing work down there, and Sister Helen saying there should be ones all over the country, all over the country. Congratulations, St. Stephen's Green. Can you congratulate a sort of a public park? It got into the top 10 most relaxing locations in the world. Yeah. Spaseekers.com have compiled a list of the most relaxing locations in the world. And you're saying, how did they do that? Well, it counted online travel reviews that used the word relaxing. St. Stephen's Green came in at number 8. Congratulations. If you know about the history of St. Stephen's Green, it was a Victorian park. It was only open to local residents until 1877 and then was reopened to the public in 1880. It came in at number 8. At number 5, Parque del Retiro in Spain, public park. At number 4, Luxembourg Gardens in France. At number 3, Thermae Bath Spa in England, thermal baths. At number 2, says Chenye Baths and Pool in Hungary. And the top one, Blue Lagoon in Iceland. It's a geothermal spa. The most relaxing location in the world, according to spaseekers.com. There you go. Ariana Grande. You know Ari, she's a singer. You know Ariana Grande. She's 30. She's 30, right, 30. That's a, yeah, 3 decades, 30. She's come out now and she says she's given up on using fillers and Botox. And she's learning to learn. She's learning to love her true self, which I suppose, you know, in a way, it's a good thing, because these people, whether they like or not, are role models, and people look to them and they go, if Ariana does it, well, it's okay by me. She's an actress and singer, and she became emotional when speaking about learning to love herself with tears in her eyes. She recently admitted that she used to hide behind filler and Botox. Now, remember, she's only 30. And she talks about the pressures that young women feel to look good. I find the whole thing a little bit sad. Here she is anyway, talking about it.
Full transparency as a beauty person, as I do my lips. Had a ton of lip filler over the years. And Botox. I stopped in 2018 because I just felt so too much. I just felt like hiding, you know? Didn't expect to get emotional. Take 300. No, for a long time, beauty was about hiding for me.
Hiding behind the Botox and the fillers. And yesterday you would have heard Maura Duran talking about Jennifer Aniston's trousers. They're sort of compression trousers. They deliver a massage to stimulate the body's lymphatic system. And they're famous among celebrities for being cellulite busting. They're called, it's called pressotherapy. And there was a ridiculous picture of her in the papers yesterday. She's 54 and she's lying in these Michelin Man type trousers and there's all sorts of wires coming out of them. And again, I felt sad. And like the similar things don't happen for men. Now, I know men use Botox and fillers, not as many as women. And I'm sad because there's so much pressure on women to appear a certain way. And we think the world has changed, but I don't think it's changed that much. So in a way, well done, Ariana Grande, for coming out and being so honest about the whole Botox filler thing. But she was doing it in her early 20s. It's just like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And on Jennifer Aniston, I'm excited and delighted, as the late Gay Byrne used to say, because The Morning Show returns today on Apple TV. It's the third season and it's her and Reese Witherspoon, and it's based on The Morning Show. And in America, they're big news. They're big news, and all the drama that goes on screen and off screen. And the first two seasons were very enjoyable, not just because I work in the industry, but I think most people enjoyed it. And of course, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, both powerhouses of acting and all that. So it's back on Apple TV as in from today. Ray and Alison are with us after 4 o'clock. That's Ray O'Neill, who's a psychoanalyst, and Alison Keating, who's a psychologist. They're couple counsellors. They give great advice. So if you're going through something at the moment and you want just an independent opinion, or maybe two from Ray and Alison, get them into us now, anonymously, ray@rte.ie. And they give great advice and it's independent and they're not sort of caught up in the emotion of it. And sometimes when you hear somebody from outside your world give advice on something you're going through, you go, ah, yes, That's very good advice. And of course, they do it on a regular basis. That's their jobs. So they give good advice. Now, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Just to let you know, there's also a Children's Grief Centre in Galway, as well as Limerick. That's Kathleen Harton, a chair of the board. Thanks for that. Hopespace.ie. Thanks for that, Kathleen. This is My Sea by Miriam Mulcahy, is the lady, Ray, who wrote the book. This is My Sea by Miriam Mulcahy. We must get to read that. Thanks for that. 51551ray@rte.ie. Paddy Casey is in with us today. He's celebrating the 20-year anniversary of his record-breaking album, Living. And he's going to sing the title track and the big hit as well, Saints and Sinners. But just to whet your appetite, all you Paddy Casey fans, I think this was the album after Living, Addicted to Company. Good afternoon.
Well, I'd love to tell you, but I haven't quite worked it out yet. Don't want this story.
Nice. Paddy Casey, Addicted to Company. And he'll be here and he's good company in about 10 minutes' time with his daughter, Saoirse. Ruth Fitzmaurice, is that the book? Oh, yes, I Found My Tribe. That's a great book about swimming and grief. We haven't spoken to Ruth in a long time. Let's get her back in for a chat. So there's Miriam Mulcahy and Ruth Fitzmaurice. Could be either of those Anne was talking about. Now, parents out there who have children who are fans of Olivia Rodrigo, just to let you know that they've announced a gig in the Three Arena, Dublin, on 30th of April 2024. It's a Tuesday. And there'll be all sorts of hoops for you to jump through to get the tickets, I would imagine. That's the way it is now. So you have to register, then you have to wait, then you have to be selected, and then somebody comes around to your house and you have to fill in a 40-page application form. Then eventually you might be offered a ticket, but you may not be. And then at the end of it all, 5 weeks later, you may have a ticket or you may be disappointed. Or you may choose to pay €3,000 to get to meet them and get a purple T-shirt. That's the way it works now. Anyway, that's not the way it works, but I'm sure there will be parents all over the country going, oh no, I have to get them. I have to get the tickets. I have to get the tickets. She had a hit with driver's license. I couldn't find it in here anywhere. I couldn't find the driver's license in here. So subtle. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. Yeah, three questions, two quizzers and a prize. And this week we have a two-night stay for two people at Foda Island Resort. Breakfast each morning and dinner in the new Foda restaurant on an evening of your choice. Loads of things to do down there. It's a great break. They have walking trails, indoor swimming pool, Foda Island Spa, exclusive cold restaurant, and then there's golf as well. And then in the vicinity, you have Foda Wildlife Park, Foda House and Gardens. You have the English Market in Cork City and everything that Cork City has to offer. You have Ballymaloe, very close by, Ballycotton, Middleton, all very close by. Beaches and all sorts of things to do. FodaIsland.ie, FodaIsland.ie for your autumnal break. Here is your qualifying question on this Wednesday afternoon. Which Dublin park has been crowned one of the most relaxing places in the world? Is it St. Stephen's Green or St. Bernard's Green? Which Dublin park has been crowned one of the most relaxing places in the world? Is it St. Stephen's Green or St. Bernard's Green? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. Strike up the band, why don't you? Yes, the band. Sinead, the unicorn, is running away with the circus. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray, from a rainy Westmeath, but that has not dampened my mood because I am off to the circus today. Oh, it's bringing me back. I think I'm about 8 years old in my memory, inside in Tralee, with my family, looking at the circus in amazement. I had to actually ring my mother or text my mother earlier because, you know, when you're that young, you don't fully remember where things happened. You know, you were in the big top, but yes, you don't know where. And I said, where were we? And she said, Tralee. And I can still remember bits of it, but it's hazy. And would you believe I haven't been to the circus since? So I am really looking forward to today's report. Can I call it work?
Well, had a stretch there, had a stretch. Yeah. Well, it's sort of paid employment, if that's work. So I remember when I used to do the Rose of Tralee, the circus was always set up there beside the dome, around Fells Point there on the ring road at Tralee.
That's it.
Just down from the aqua dome.
That's probably where I was.
That's probably where you were, yes. That's probably where you were. So you're off. That's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Yeah, the last time we were in at a circus was in Ballyhaig.
Ballyhaig in Kerry as
yes,
well?
Yes, yes, yeah.
We Come were on the kingdom.
We were holidaying down in Barrow and the circus was on in Ballyhaig and we ventured over and we had a great night.
What's your favourite thing about the circus or favourite thing to see?
The clowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to agree. I was never frightened of the clowns. I know other people have been.
Well, that's Stephen King's fault.
Oh, it, of course.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
and Krusty the Clown as well from The Simpsons.
Oh, well, Krusty's
Nothing
harmless
he was scary,
enough.
But he's harmless, but a bit of an edge.
There is a bit of an edge to him, yeah. he's flawed, is Krusty.
Sure who isn't?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's none of us perfect, Sinead. None of us perfect.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So if you were to run away with the circus, Sinead, what would you do? Would you be a clown or would you be a trapeze artist? Or would you be a juggler, or what would you be?
I'd love to say that I'd be a stunt artist. I don't know if I'd be able for it. So if that didn't go my way, I think maybe a clown. So, I think you can get away with a lot being a clown because you have that mask up.
Yes.
You're performing, but you're not Sinead. You're Shinny the Clown or whatever you may be called. You know, it's kind of like Sasha Fierce with Beyonce. You have that protection. It's a shield.
It's an alter ego, And all you have to have is that horn thing, you know, murmur, murmur. And that's just, if things sort of aren't going your way, just do that and everyone laughs. So that I'd be, thanks for asking.
Go on, what would you be?
Well, I did a bit of gymnastics, right? A little bit of gymnastics.
When
I
was younger.
Go away. Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. All Ireland medals. Thanks for asking.
No, but,
yeah.
You're a dark horse, Ray.
Dark horse. Yeah, I arrived into the office last week. This is the truth, right? And Jack, who works on one of the other programs, he said he was going to learn how to do a handstand, and then he said, "I bet you know how to do a handstand." And then before I knew it, right, I was only in the door, and they were going handstand, 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 and I found myself up my hands with my boots off against the boss's door. Now, he wasn't there. He was off somewhere else. But I was, that's, wow. Luckily, he didn't come back. But yeah, so I still, I still do it.
Is it something that you do on a regular basis to keep up your fitness? Because with things like that we've learned when we were younger, like cartwheels and handstands, etc., you kind of need to practice often enough.
No, I don't.
No, okay, no. Well, there you go.
No, but I did do it on that occasion, and I think in my head, I can still do a cartwheel. But I don't know if I was to try it, my body might go, no. You can't be doing that. Okay. So
in my head, I think I can as well. But like when you act, the execution of it is another story.
Yeah. That's, I suppose, that's
floppy.
Getting old, isn't it? Right. I'm talking about myself, not about you, of course.
Of course.
So who did you meet on your travels?
I was out and about. I was talking to the world and its mother about the hidden talents that the people of Ireland have. The first person I met was Alan.
My hidden talent is an ability to grow onions.
Is that a very difficult task?
No, it isn't. I mean, it's just pretty much saying. But to be honest with you, I never imagined myself as someone with green fingers. During COVID, myself and a friend, we started opening up an allotment. Yeah, I was happy to help along. I was more like doing the digging rather than the planting. But it seems I have the talent. Seeing now what's happening, I'm pretty amazed with myself now, you know. So a lot of people have said, hey, that's great. I know my onions.
Alan knows his onions.
Yeah, I think he could have been pulling your leg there. He just wanted to get that punchline in. But he sounded genuine, did Alan. Well done, Alan. Go on.
As did the others who I spoke to and who performed for me as well. Next up is Kerry.
I love to sing. Since I was very small, like as a baby, I loved singing. Mm-hmm. I used to be in Billy Barry years ago.
Uh-huh. What kind of songs do you like to sing?
I love singing Hallelujah. I heard there was a secret chord that David played and he pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? I'd love to like go for like professional singing lessons in the future. I'd love to become famous as a singer.
Ah, well done, Kerry.
Well done, Kerry. She had competition though. I met another singer by the name of EJ.
My hidden talent would be in the area of singing songs. I'm working on getting out an album. I've come up with some songs that, you know, I did not know that I was going to come up with. So I could describe that as hidden talent.
So not only are you a singer, but you're a composer as well.
Yeah.
Will you give us a bar of a song?
Okay. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory, so my life will never be the same again.
Ah, EJ, nice. Yeah.
There you go. So keep your eyes peeled for the EP from EJ in the future.
You call it hidden talent. I was watching a show on, I think, Apple called Platonic. Rose Byrne is in it. And there's a great scene in a bar where they do secret skill. And everybody had to, it's like party piece, hidden talent, secret skill, you know. So I suppose some of them are more hidden than others. Like you didn't know that I could do gymnastics, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know that you could do, what was it?
I don't know what I can do. Laugh.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know if I have a hidden talent.
I'm sure you do. Everyone
I'm sure
them.
There's something
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
for,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And Serena was next, and you asked her what was her hidden talent.
Dancing.
What kind of moves do you have?
I suppose really anything I can do. Disco and salsa, believe it or not. Yeah, salsa is quite good, and I enjoy that.
And would your friends be impressed?
Oh, very impressed. They'd actually video and send me WhatsApp messages and everything. And then we'd actually dance the night away. And plus, we lose loads of weight while we're doing it. The calories would be burning really, really fast. So that's my hidden talent.
Yeah. Not so hidden.
Serena has the moves.
Yeah, she does. She does. You've got a great spread of talents.
Yeah, a really nice mix, because I think people had to go and think about it as well. Some people returned to me after a while because it takes a few minutes to kind of think about what it is that you have. Mm. I was trying to inspire people by saying, you know, can you play the spoons? Didn't get anyone who could play the spoons, unfortunately. But I did meet a man called Marcus.
I'm an archer, so I can shoot reasonably far, so it's like 30 metres away, and I'm be able to hit like half an A4 page, and be able to hit quite regularly, yeah.
Have you been doing it for long?
A year and a bit, yeah, so I'm doing it out in a club in Blanchardstown. It's a fantastic sport for a number of reasons, like mostly more so for concentration, so if you had a busy week and so on and so forth, archery is a great way to just focus your mind a little bit if you're a little bit all over the shop. Mm.
And if you're a bit frustrated as well, is it good for throwing things?
You can put a picture of whoever on the target might help with aim, yeah.
Oh, man, Marcus. Emmett is good in the kitchen.
Very good at making pizza. Just since COVID got into making pizza, and every Friday, making pizza at home. Great crack.
What's your signature pizza?
Black pudding and nduja.
Fancy.
Oh, sure, it has to be done.
Nduja, ooh. Mm. Have you had nduja?
It's a bit too spicy for me.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of meats that are too spicy.
Oh, I love nduja. Well, I love
you
nduja.
You do?
You don't have to include much of it. It's just for flavouring, but it's delicious. Yeah.
And what do you make of black pudding and nduja together? Do you think it's a good mix?
Well, I'm a big fan of both separately. I've never tried them together, but now after Emmett, I might just experiment this Friday because it's pizza day on a Friday in our house as well. I don't know if anybody else will go with it, but I'm going to try it.
So is Emmett invited over?
No.
You'll do it yourself.
Yeah. Finally.
Oh, finally I met a cutie pie by the name of Senan.
Doing magic tricks to fool people. I love it and it's really funny.
What kind of tricks do you do?
Every time Emma comes looking for me, I hide under the table.
And would you like to be a magician when you grow up?
I'm going to be a scientist.
Yeah, that was a silly question. Who'd want to be a magician other than Keith Barry? But
he has his head well screwed on, Senan does.
You see, I love the fact that when you're younger, you think if you put your hands over your eyes that nobody can see you. That's what he was doing. He was going under the table and thinking he's disappeared. You know,
yeah.
It was brilliant. I love him.
I was the worst at hide and seek because I'd get kind of anxious and just say, I'm here behind the curtain and give up before I'd even started.
So hide and seek, not your hidden talent. Let's do it by a process of elimination.
We'll figure it out by the end of the show.
Okay. Well, your task now, if you choose to accept it, Sinead mm-hmm. Unicorn, is to go and find the circus and get us somebody to talk to.
Well, I will certainly do my best and I will call back in about 15 minutes' time or so.
Thanks, Sinead. Good morning. Good slow.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551. Bob has been on. Bob. Ivy Gardens, besides Stephen's Green, is even more peaceful. Shh. Don't tell anyone. Secret's out, Bob. A friend of mine lived on Harcourt Street years ago and she introduced me to the Ivy Gardens. Oh, wow. Now, people who go to the comedy festival know it, and of course, there's gigs there as well. So, Bellex won there. But when the gigs and the comedy isn't on, it's an oasis of calm in the middle of the city. Well spotted, Bob. Now, yesterday on the show, we were discussing how a survey revealed that some people only wash their bath towels twice a year. Some even do it only once a year. And we were talking to our gaff goddess, Laura De Barra, and the conversation turned to the plume, sounds posh, around the toilet bowl and the importance of closing the lid before you flush. Because if you don't, the plume with all the stuff goes all over the bathroom. That's what they say. So overnight, we had an email from Tony Murphy. He's anxious to tell us about the Japanese toilets and how they operate. Interesting listening to you speak about toilets, says Tony. This may be of interest about the plume and products that combat in the Japanese toilets. Toto. Tony is on the line to talk about Toto. Hello to you, Tony.
Thanks, Ray.
Toto. You see, we all use the loo. That's the truth, isn't it? I was blissfully unaware about the plume and what it does. And when I went home, Jenny, my wife, said, "Now, I heard her talking to you about the plume. Make sure you close the lid before you flush. But if you have a Toto toilet, you don't need to worry." Is that the case?
The way Toto work, they have a tornado flush.
Tornado
which
flush?
Allows two flows of water into the pan to prevent waste from rising. But they also have a Cefnitech, a glaze on the inside that stops bacteria and waste from accumulating in the toilet bowl.
Right.
So these are all things that are specific to them. So it makes it the quietest flush of any toilet, just in terms of water noise going through the product.
And do they use different, they obviously use different technology than your average loo?
It's all exclusive Toto technology that they've designed over the years. They've sold 60 million of these products worldwide.
Right, and originated in Japan?
Originated in Japan, but say the product itself having a washlet, as they call them, they fine-tuned all the details of how it works and what it does. Like, even in the company, it always amazes me that they've almost over 900 research and development people right. in a company of 29,000.
Sorry, I was just laughing. You just don't do it at home. Save it for work. Anyway, look, and they you called a washlet there thing. What's the washlet?
The washlet, basically, for most people, it sets new standards when it comes to personal hygiene. We always use water to clean ourselves, our hands, our faces, our bodies. Why shouldn't we wash with water using the toilet?
Yes.
A washlet, intimate areas, gently and naturally with warm water.
And that's built into the loo, is it?
Into the seat itself.
Okay.
Because they have what they call a wand that retracts back into the seat when you don't want to use, when and when you don't want to use
okay.
it, you know?
How do you get this into operation? Is there a button or what?
There's a remote control.
Right.
And it's very simple. It's pictorial. You just select that you want to wash. Like,
yeah.
It works it's like as a bidet. Normal.
It's like a yes. bidet, is it? Right, okay.
Yes.
So you're two in one. So you've a loo and a bidet.
All in the one.
Right.
That cleanses you and is space saving.
A lidet.
You also have a heated seat that when you sit down, it's warm for you.
You'd never leave the loo.
You would. Eventually, you'd need to move.
So the
whole idea is that their wand jet material is enclosed in a silicone. And it's at a specific angle to avoid dirt falling onto the wand. And also it washes before it comes out and when it retracts.
So it's always self-cleaning?
Yes.
Okay. How long are Toto in business, Tony?
They're in business since 1917.
Oh, right. All right. So they've years and years and years of experience at this.
Yes.
It sounds like an expensive piece of kit. How does it compare to your bog standard loo? Pun intended.
They're two totally different products. Like... people describe them as life-changing the minute they get to use them, and they become evangelists for the product itself.
Right.
Like, I often describe people that if you were digging in the garden, you would come in and wash your hands, but you wouldn't use tissue paper. So
I know what you're saying. I think people get the, yeah. Did you tell me how much they cost? Compared to your bog standard
one? They start around 2,700.
Ah, you see. Like, you can get a normal loo bowl for around 350 or 350.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's a big difference, But as you say, it's transformational, the Toto loo, the Toto toilet. Tony, thanks so much for bringing... I didn't know they existed, and now everybody...
Well, come them. And visit us
I will,
at tilestyle.ie.
Come on. See you, Tony.
See you then.
Mind yourself. See you. Bye-bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Paddy Casey and his daughter Saoirse have joined us in studio. It is 20 years since Paddy released his album Living. He's touring the album with a full band in some of Ireland's best-loved intimate venues to celebrate and mark the anniversary. Tell them how many copies this sold. I'm holding up the vinyl
copy. We literally went out. We weren't there for a cup of tea in the canteen there, and... I met the guy from Sony because they're re-releasing it as like a limited edition or whatever. But he was telling me it was 101 weeks in the charts. And it was, I can't remember what he said. It was like 2 years in the top 10 or something.
Right.
And it was, I don't know, it was like 200,000 or something.
Right.
I didn't catch all the numbers.
So,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Which was big for back
it was
then.
Huge.
Big
it
for,
huge.
For now. Apparently I've beaten Harry Styles.
Have you? There you go.
I don't know if I beat him in a fight or anything, but I beat him at that. So there you go.
Or in a onesie wearing competition.
It was pretty big. I didn't realize it did that well. Actually, to be honest with you, I knew it sold a lot, but I didn't realize it was in the charts for that long.
Yeah,
that was mental.
Of course, Saints and Sinners, which you're going to play.
Saints and Sinners,
And the title album, Living, which I loved.
That's all because of you.
No, it's not. But
it kind of was.
I have a lovely memory of. We did a broadcast from my mother's kitchen. right? Oh, yeah. Years ago. Right. The reason we did it was for Shane McGowan. Anyway, when we arrived there, 9 o'clock, I played, we always open with a song,
yeah.
And I played Living. So I was right. Back in Kildare and I played, because yeah. Living in this town, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember looking out the window into the back garden from my mother's kitchen and the song was playing in my headphones. It's just one of those wow. moments. You know, one of those moments yeah. that, so you're there.
I'm in your ma's kitchen.
You're in my ma's kitchen and sure. that memory. But so people must have so many memories around just yeah. the songs on the radio and the gigs, because you did. So, like, who did you support when you back then?
On Living did so well, we didn't do that many supports, to be honest with you.
You were all headliners.
Amen was the big one for all the big supports, like yeah. with the Tracy Chapman's and the Ian Brown and R.E.M. and stuff. We did some U2 stuff with Livin', actually. We went out with them for a few gigs.
Right.
And, God, who else? Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I used to come on your show just to remember what I was doing, you know. what gigs were coming up, you know.
Sirisha is here. I used to tell your dad, I'd go, and you're in, you know, whatever, the Roisin Dubh next week. It wasn't the Roisin Dubh. And he'd go, am I really? You are, yeah. So you're on keyboard, Sirisha. We'll talk a bit to you in a moment as well. But sure, music, let the music talk.
Yeah.
So this is the opening.
We'll transport you back to your mammy's kitchen here.
Great. The opening and the title track, Living.
Okay. On your marks.
Town. Yay! That was great. Wow, he worked so well. Words. You worked so well together.
Aye.
Father and daughter. It's
she's kind of apparently. Been roped into the band for the last year. So.
Is it ever awkward for you, Saoirse, working with your dad?
No, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I was talking to somebody in the canteen about teaching your child how to drive, you know, and I was saying that's probably not a good thing to do.
No.
No.
The piano, or well, no.
Did you learn? Music's Did he teach how to play a musical instrument? Or?
Well, she's teaching me how to play piano. Actually.
Is she? Yeah. Right. Okay. Right.
No, that's not true.
Patty, relax there. I tell you what, if you don't mind,
yeah,
if you don't mind, would you sing Saints and Sinners at the end of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll give you time to do all that.
Okay, cool.
Is that okay with everybody out there? Everybody yes says yes. Now, Ruth from Blessing has been on. Huge fan of Paddy Casey the last 20 plus years and been to see him numerous times during that time. He will always take time to chat and get a photo taken. I've changed in those years, but I'm glad to say Paddy hasn't. His music is timeless with lots of happy memories. Really looking forward to the Living anniversary gig on the 29th in Whelans. Do you want to direct people towards the website, Paddy, to let them know where all the gigs are?
Yeah, well, paddycaseymusic.com. Well, I think the first one is the INEC. That's kind of a big one for us.
That's Saturday, 23rd of September.
Yeah, that's where we did our... I think I did my first headline gigs, actually. In Killarney, anyway, so that's kind of a big one for
nice
me.
Nice memory, yeah. And then Whelans, Cypress Whelans, Avenue, obviously. Dolan's, Monroe's in Galway, Sea Church in Ballycotton, Spirit Store in Dundalk, Cavantown Hall, and Untas Theatre in Castleblaney, and the Source Arts Centre in Thurles, and also John Clare's in Kilkenny before the 23rd.
Killarney, we've got a choir, so that's going to be great. So that's kind of... down memory lane. I think we'll be doing No Diggity and stuff.
Oh, brilliant. All that crack. I'm going to play that in the coming weeks.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Right, I was telling them upstairs about it. They're too young to remember. Yeah. I better tell our listeners that Paddy came in with the gospel choir, the Dublin Gospel Choir, yeah. And he did Bill Withers' Grandma's Hand into No Diggity. Because that samples Grandma's Hand, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, six great, minutes yeah. and 30 seconds or something like that. It's great.
Not long enough.
Yeah. Do you walk up and down Grafton Street at all?
Not very often, no. I don't get into Dublin as much as I'd like to.
There's a great busking culture there now.
Yeah.
And that's where you started, didn't it?
I mean, I started busking, yeah. But yeah, they all have amps now and pianos and things. It sounds great. I mean, it's like gigs on the street now, you know, so...
Yeah. Yeah, highly professional. Not that you weren't.
Very professional. No, we were not professional.
Sweet Suburban Skies. There's the one that remind people of the Michael Back. That was from the first album. So Paddy's going to stay with us with his daughter, Saoirse, and they're going to play for us again just before the end of the show. For the moment, Saoirse and Paddy, thank you so much. Thank you.
Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and Paddy will return before the end of the show. Bum, bum, bum. Sinead the Unicorn.
Hello, Ray. How are you? I feel like I've travelled back in time. I'm 8 years of age again. I'm back in Tralee at Fawcett Circus. Because you won't believe where I am at the moment. I am inside in the Big Top in Mullingar at Fawcett Circus. A technical rehearsal is on as I speak to you. I'm watching them all bring out the equipment, work things out for tonight. The smell of popcorn. Beautiful. And by my side, I have ring mistress Marion Fawcett.
Roll up, ladies roll and up. Gentlemen. Marion Fawcett. I'm just auditioning there, Marion.
Thank you, Ray, for my job. That's fine.
Great.
Well, I nearly have Sinead talked into running away with us, but right. I can't get her to go up on the trapeze. So I think she's going to bail out on me.
I see. There's a place near us and they have a trapeze out on one of the pitches. You can do it now as a hobby.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing that. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that for exercise and everything. We'll get you up now on the flying trapeze,
well,
Ray.
I don't know.
That would sort you.
The other way is you get older, Marion, the way you're balanced
know,
and you get dizzy very quickly. Yeah,
absolutely. I hear you, dear.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Great to talk to you.
And you.
Do you know anything else other than the circus, Marion?
Yeah, well, no, to be honest with you, I haven't ever left the entertainment business.
Yeah.
As you know, I was a singer as well.
In Sheba,
but I started in the circus and then I just left the circus and then I came back to the circus. So it's been a complete circle, but all within the industry. So I've never left the entertainment business. So, you know, it's, nothing else in my life that I would want to do, being honest with you.
I read the article, the interview with Barry Egan over the weekend, and your mother, Herta. I never knew about Herta.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing story.
Yeah, yeah. She came here in 1952 as the top of the bill, darling, and met my dad and fell in love and stayed. She always said it was his eyes. And that's how long she's been. She's 92 now. She's amazing.
And where is she from originally?
Mammy came from Czechoslovakia originally, or Czech Republic it is now, but she was Czechoslovakia, and that's where she came. But she came to Ireland from Switzerland. She'd worked on Circus Knie, which is a circus in Switzerland, and then came over to do a season. We do seasons in circus, and it's the same all over the world, right? So we start our circus season. The artists come and work a season with us, and then they go to another circus and do a season. We're like a travelling village, you know?
Yeah.
The only downside is we travel a lot.
And does that become more difficult as life goes on?
Well, we have to drive it. We have to go at night time. I always consider that they throw darts. So we're in Mullingar this week.
Yes.
Then we have to drive from Mullingar to Blackpool in Cork. And then we're going from Blackpool in Cork to Galway.
Yes.
So I'm going, oh.
But could you not go from Mullingar to Galway? Go on.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's the way the dates, the way they do it.
Yeah.
But never forget, I was on the road with a show band as well. So, like, travelling to me has been part of my life, most of my life, you know.
And Sheba represented Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. I sang for my country in 1981. It's something that I'm very proud of and always will be.
Horoscopes. So
absolutely. Well done. Oh, no, Ray. Well, you caught me there. I know.
Who won that year?
Well, believe it or not, it was the year that Bucks Fizz won. But we can't complain because we came fifth, which wasn't bad out of 25 countries. But the truth is, the girls and I, they didn't take the skirts off until the dress rehearsal. Bucks Fizz. Remember that?
Yes,
and they took the skirts off of the dress rehearsal and we just looked at each other and said, ah, there's your winner.
Throw your hat at it or throw your skirt at it.
Yeah, it was good. No, great experience.
So that feeling, about, like Sheba is one thing representing your country, but there have been ring mistress and you know, the getting dressed up and going out and delivering the lines.
Well, I've always felt, Ray, that my job is a mixture between a stage manager and a compere.
Yeah.
So, you know, I introduce the acts. I also have to keep an eye to make sure the props are in place, that everyone is ready. If they aren't ready, keep on going, Patsy, you know. So I think all my years of experience within the entertainment business has helped me become a good ring mistress, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
I'm also old-fashioned and classic. I've morphed into my father, according to a lady who left the show the other day.
Is that a good thing?
She said to me. I think it is. My dad was ringmaster for 40 years and he was wonderful at it. So I'm just like a female version of him, you know.
And
but then
and
this
of course,
is what it's... When I say something here, this is important. Circus is the only form of entertainment left in this century that you can bring every member of your family, to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, to keep it going. It's our job to create to you 2 hours of escapism from reality.
Yeah.
So we always have what I call...
Oh, we need that now.
Absolutely. Yeah. More than ever.
Yeah.
More than ever. And what I love is we're generations entertaining generations. I do meet and greet after every show and people stop me and go, this is my daughter, you know, I brought her, and now this is my granddaughter. And that's what I love about it. And we provide thrills, skills, and laughter.
And how many generations have you, Mary? I'm four,
but we're on fifth already.
Right.
So we're a family-run business for five generations. It was my great-grandfather founded our circus in 1888.
Right.
So you do have all the past behind you on your shoulder going, you know, you need to keep this going, lads.
And how many generations would be part of the show tonight now in Mullingar?
Oh, well, at least three of us here. There's myself, myself. Like most of us, fourth generation and fifth generation. My nephew, he's on the wheel of death.
Right.
With my niece's partner, Otto, which is of course my nephew, Otto the Clown.
He's brilliant.
Edward Fosser Jr. He's
brilliant.
My nephew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, as I said, we're family run.
Yeah.
You know, my sister is in the shop, so and I'm the ring mistress. So, you know, to be honest with you, it's such hard work. You have to be a family to do it, right?
Mm.
Being honest,
in your spare time, you like putting rhinestones on things.
I do. That's what calms me. I look at them and go, they could do a little bit more bling there, dear. So I take costumes and I rhinestone them. You can't imagine what I was doing during COVID, dear.
Oh yeah, if it didn't move, it was rhinestones.
I bought every rhinestone there is. I have boxes and boxes. My friend said to me, I've turned into a rhinestone hoarder. I'm going, I must get more if I use them. So, but that's what calms me. That's what I like to do.
Our Sinead there. Sinead, maybe Marion might rhinestone your sneakers, your runners.
Oh yeah, I'd love that. And then I can run off with the circus, Marion.
Yes, there you go.
I'll have you in blinged from head to toe, darling.
Yes,
you can come
we
in
have
and
to
join
find
me.
Your talent.
She can be my assistant, right?
Oh, there you
assistant.
Go.
Yes,
yes,
there you
a trainee ring mistress. There
a
you go.
Trainee ring mistress.
Do you want to do an introduction there? You introduce Marion as a ring mistress, Sinead. Let's see how you go. An audition live on air, right?
Right. Coming up next, we have Marion Fawcett
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please welcome my assistant for this afternoon, the one and only Sinead.
That's very good. Thank you very much. Grandmother to you both. Thank you. See you. Bye. Enjoy it.
Bye-bye.
She's off at the circus there. Grandmother Kieran, thank you. Now, my son is 36, a top civil engineer, living and married with beautiful children in Auckland, New Zealand. He had to emigrate in 2011 due to the Irish secession. He loves Paddy Casey's music. Since he's gone, every time Paddy's music is played on the radio, it's like he's back here with me in our kitchen, age 16, says Maga. That's a lovely memory. Paddy will be back with us before the end of the programme. But right now, we have to do our Who Done It quiz. Two quizzes are standing by. Great prize this week. It's a two-night stay for two people at the Foda Island Resort. Breakfast each morning, dinner in the new Foda restaurant on an evening of your choice, and loads of things to do down there. FodaIsland.ie. There's walking trails, swimming pool, world-class Foda Island spa, the Cove restaurant, and then outside you have Foda Wildlife Park, Foda House and Gardens, your stone's throw from Cork City, Middleton, Ballymaloe, Ballycotton, all those places. FodaIsland.ie. It's a great prize. Hello, Michael Regan.
How are you doing?
You're in Tulsk.
I am surely going to Roscommon.
I love the name Tulsk. You can really have fun with it. Tulsk. What are you up to today?
I'm just working out at the minute. I'm a mechanic. The rain. I was working out in the rain all day till now. But I said I'd take a break from it.
Has your job got more difficult with all the electronics now in cars?
No, easier, really.
Easier, right, okay,
yeah.
Right.
There's less sledgehammering work and more pressing buttons.
Right, okay, right. You can do the diagnostics with a machine, can you?
Oh, yeah, you have to be able to do that now or you wouldn't be in the work.
It wouldn't last a day. What's the plan for this evening, Michael?
Well, I was hoping to go to the bog now, but it's a bit wet this evening, so it is. I don't think now I'll do a whole lot. I'll save myself. I've a stag do at the weekend, so I'll save myself for that, hopefully.
Where are you off to on the stag?
We're going to County Donegal up to Letterkenny.
Right, how many of you?
19. 19 or snow, so a bit of crack, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. You've been warned, Letterkenny. Have you got a secret skill?
I have a couple of them.
All right.
A few of them might keep secret, though.
Right. I suppose if you told me, there wouldn't be a secret. Fair enough. Right. You're up against Aileen DeBarra. How are you doing, Aileen?
How's it going, Ray?
Not too bad. You're just back from the weekly food shop.
Yeah.
Right.
Not the weekly, the daily.
The daily, yeah, God. You got everything you needed anyway, did you?
I did. I got everything. Yeah, right. Hopefully anyway.
Yeah.
Your memory is not great lately, so I might forget something and have to go back out for it again.
Well, they recommend, doesn't matter where you are in your life, write a list. It's always good.
Oh, I do, but I forget the list then. That's the problem. Leave it on the table.
That is a problem. Write a list to remind yourself to bring the list. And then, or put a piece of string around your finger to remind yourself to. Yeah. What's on the menu for tonight now? What's for dinner?
Well, my husband is having fish. Right. New potatoes, new turnip, but I don't eat fish. Even though I'm from County Wexford.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to me, but I don't like fish.
And what would you have instead of fish?
I love chicken.
Right. I believe you suffer from, or some of the grandchildren suffer from, coulrophobia.
What's that?
It's a fear of clowns.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Well, they used to years ago when they were little and you couldn't bring them to McDonald's.
Because of Ronald.
They wouldn't go.
Yeah,
they were terrified of him.
Right.
I mean, they are scary looking creatures if you look at them, you know.
Well, it is Stephen King's fault. They shouldn't be scary. They're not meant to be scary. They're designed to actually make you laugh and smile. But there you go. That's the way the world works. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. Stephen King has a lot to answer for, hasn't he?
He does, yeah. Now, Michael and Aileen, you know the rules.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, there you go. Say hello to Aileen there. Three questions each. I give you the category. Then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you do without a clue, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And it's a draw on points. We go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thank you.
Michael in Roscommon. Romantic music hits. So romantic songs. That's so we want what do you want to do?
I'm going no clue.
No clue. So we're looking for the singer's name. The singer of this romantic hit. For 2 points, who is this?
I just break down and cry, 'cause I'd rather.
Who that there?
I'm just going to guess Shania Twain, but I don't know.
No, yeah, it's not. It's Whitney Houston, Saving All My Love For You, 1985. Okay, early days. Aileen, so
yes.
Romantic songs and the people who sing them. What do you want to do? Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. For two?
I'm a bit of a romantic, so.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. Who's singing this for two? This is testing your romantic credentials.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Lionel Richie.
It is Lionel Richie. Yes, hello. What a song.
Hello.
2 points on the board. There you go. Okay, Michael, that puts you under a bit of pressure now. We're on to category number two. It's former Dancing with the Stars contestants. So former Dancing with the Stars contestants. Have you watched it?
Just bits of it. I'll take a clue on this one.
You take a clue. He's a former Irish rugby hooker. For 1 point, who's this?
I have my homework to go work away.
Yeah.
On Karen gives me what I have to go work on, because no day goes absolutely perfect. There's always a part of the dance that isn't exactly going smoothly. So that's go home and practice that and come back in the next day.
Who's that?
I'm clueless once again, I'm afraid.
Clueless, rugby isn't your sport. Shane Byrne, the man with the long hair. Shane Byrne.
I wouldn't have got that, no.
Okay, well, it's not your day, Michael. They're not suiting you. And Aileen, the first one suited you. And if you get anything from this one, Michael can't catch you. So,
really?
Yeah, that's the way it is. Because you're on two, he can only possibly get two. So if you even get one from this next one, you're on three, he can't catch you. So what do you want to do?
I'll go with the clue.
Yeah, well, that would be the good thing to
logical
do.
Logical thing.
Yes, it would. Okay, here's your clue. listen carefully. His older brother Nathan is also quite a star himself. Who is this for 1 point?
I'm always one of them people that will throw myself at anything, you know what I mean? When the opportunity came up, a lot of people don't believe me, but I couldn't dance before. Like, I'd never danced, really. I mean, I said yes, and then it was kind of the afterthought was like, oh, Jesus, what have I said yes to, you know what I mean? Like,
who's that?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I know he's a character, but yeah. I can't think of his first name.
No, not there.
No.
Jake.
Oh, Jake. Yeah, dear.
And he ended up with Karen there together. We had them in recently. They won the second series. Okay, so you're still on two. Michael, you're still in the quiz now. Final category.
The pressure's on, no.
Final category is famous rappers. As in.
Oh, dear God.
Are you
a rapper?
Well, you know. Hip-hop rap, you know. It's not a problem that I can't fix because I can do it in the mix. That sort of rapping, you know. Okay. What do you think, Michael? You have to go without a clue, don't you?
Yeah, I have a chance to go on ahead.
Okay, can you name this famous rapper for 2 points?
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's.
Who's that?
The Tupac?
No, Jay-Z.
Same difference. I don't know any of them. But all the
ones. Yeah. Michael, you were right. They didn't suit you. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup and lovely talking to you from Tulsk. Enjoy the stag. Good luck, Michael. See you. Bye. Aileen Barra, well done.
I don't believe that I'd ever win anything.
Well, there you go. You've just won for yourself and a person of your choice, which is probably the husband. A two-night stay for two people at the Photo Island Resort. Which is lovely, and there's so much to do down there: swimming pool, walking trails, and then you have the wildlife park. You have the house and gardens. You can go into Cork City, go to Ballymaloe, Ballycotton, Middleton, photoIsland.ie.
Down to Cove, my sister lives down in Cove.
There you go. Very close to Cove. Very close to Cove. I think you can even get a train out to Cove from photoIsland. Enjoy everything, and well done, Aileen.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck, Slán. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're joined in studio by psychologist Alison Keating. How are you, Alison? And psychoanalyst Ray O'Neill. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Ray.
Now we've a good bit of work to do, so we won't delay. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm married to my husband for 20 years. We're together 30 years and we have an 18-year-old and we all live together. I've wanted to separate for several years as our relationship has deteriorated over the past few years, but he doesn't. He says that if I push it and proceed with a separation, he will leave the country and never see our child again. I've been living with this threat for 3 years now since I first asked to separate. I feel trapped, but also worried about the effect of any separation on the child. I also feel sorry for my husband. I can't see any way out of this. Thanks for reading. Ray.
I think myself and Alison are both going to land on the word threat. The fact that you're living with a threat for 3 years, that is not a healthy relationship. I get that you are worried about the effect of your separation on your child, but with all the love of my heart, I would be worried about the effect of not separating on both you and your child.
Yeah, and 18, the child is 18.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, whenever it happens, it's going to have a negative effect. But they're an adult.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I find it interesting that she feels sorry for her husband. But I think she needs to step back and go, OK, like Ray's saying, what impact is this going to have on me? And what impact is it going to have on our 18-year-old who then looks at people staying in relationships that are actually deeply unhealthy? Like, even if they're not openly fighting, there's always like when there's contempt or people don't want to be together, it's so obvious.
Do you know what I find interesting about this? Is that he's threatened to leave the country and never see the child again.
Which is dreadful.
What kind of parent is that?
Yeah.
What kind of father makes that kind of threat to his wife about his child? Like, you know, it's rare that I'm 100% in one place, but I'm like 100% in one place about this person.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Because
well, it's a threat that I think probably won't happen.
Yes.
Right?
So
I think it's and even if it's not an empty threat, what a dreadful thing to do to everybody within a family.
Yes.
But you're better being separated.
Is it that, I wonder, is it that the lady who's emailing us knows that he has a close relationship with the child. So that's why the threat is real to her. And she doesn't want her husband, the father, out of her child's life.
Of course not. Yeah. But I mean, to put someone in that predicament, it's so the opposite of love. It's yes, so the opposite of protecting, you know, the child. And it doesn't actually make any sense. So she has to ask herself, if she heard this from somebody else, what would she actually advise to them?
Right. And?
Well, honestly, I think it's time to separate.
It is time to separate. You made that decision 3 years ago. Yeah. Trust yourself, because here you are right.
Yeah. Okay. And it's never easy and always messy, but yeah, she has to do it for herself. Okay, right. Dear Anne Alison, my question is, how does a married couple in their 30s who are unable to have children cope with the grief, especially when everyone else around is having children or talking about their children? We're not overall jealous of other people, like close friends, but just can't hold our emotions at events like christenings, etc., and feel like we're on a roller coaster and can't get off. Alison.
I think it's, why do you have to hold your emotion? Like, I know there are christenings and I know there are other events, but if these guys are friends, and it does sound like genuine friends and people, you know, where there are family and children involved, I think people will actually understand that it's so difficult if they know that they're in the position that they can't actually have children. So I think just, you know, I always find it interesting when people say cope with the grief. It's there. It's not going away. And I think just getting support from these people is the way to actually go and to bring it into the room. You know, just to allow yourself, be human and be like, my God, I actually feel like I'm on a roller coaster. I'm just going to take a break for a second and go outside and go out with your partner or with a friend and just have that cry. And then you probably will be able to go back in after.
But I know this is going to sound a bit mean, but it's not about you. Would it not be better just not to go to these events for the moment until...
But the politics of these events can be, you know, family events, friends not turning up, it can cause more ructions. I think Alison's absolutely right. Like, you can go to them and just say, look, I'm really sorry. I know it's Joanne's christening in a month's time, but we're just not able for it. Right. I think sometimes, again, in Ireland, we put on a brave face. But the key word here is grief. Mm. And sometimes the worst griefs are the invisible ones, the ones that people don't see. Mm. The relationship I didn't have, the promotion I didn't get, the children that didn't happen. Mm. And sometimes you have to bring visibility to those invisible griefs.
But are you saying when you get the invitation that you make your excuses and don't go? Rather than going and making your excuses and leaving.
I always think it's better to look, we've full intentions going, but, you know, either John might be unwell that day if you can't tell the full truth, or you just say, look, you know that this whole thing is difficult for us, so we may leave early.
Yeah.
That way you're honouring the event, but you're also honouring your own experience.
Fair enough.
But okay. I also like what Ray's saying. And
which
if
Ray?
But both of you.
Ray.
but if, you know, if you do decide to go, because I think connection is very important to get that support. And I totally agree with Ray. Bring visibility to real grief.
Mm. I just think that if you know you're not going to feel well and it's somebody else's day, well, just, you know, don't be part of it. Like that's
but isn't that part of the problem is that then they are excluded purely because they can't have children? And I think the connection part is really important,
but,
you know?
But like the other thing is, I suppose, to give them hope. Like, and I don't know if you've worked with people in this situation, but it must get easier as time goes on, does it?
I'm not sure.
No.
I think when you get through that stage where all your peer group are having children and you move into another stage, and when you see the advantages of being child-free as against childless, and obviously speaking to myself, my colleague just nudged me there. Yeah, look, you see that things are different. And this is, if you trust in life, whenever something is taken away, there is space for something else to be given.
Okay.
And it's always important to explore that space.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm just looking at the clock there. Paddy Casey's coming in to sing us out. I'll do this one. Ray and Alison, myself and my partner are complete opposites. We have different tastes, interests, schedules. I could go on and on. We're like night and day. I know the old saying that opposites attract, but the longer we're together, the more these differences are coming between us. We love each other, but living together just seems like such hard work. How do we know whether to keep trying or whether to call it quits? Thanks for your help.
It's a hard one because it's a bit vague on what the issues are. But look, one of the is you just talk. As long as there's conversation and attempts to relate, then you have a relationship. And you have to be clear on what things can't change and what things are open for change. And that's a really good conversation.
Yeah, I think the person's answered the question and maybe they're afraid that they know. How do we know whether we to keep trying or call it quits? And I'd say that they really like this person. But actually, if everything is the opposite in every decision that you make, from food to furniture to everything, actually, it is hard because your values being similar does make life easier, genuinely.
Yeah. And just on that thing, and like, you know, that trope about opposites attracting.
It's not true.
Well, what do you find from your work?
I find people get on better when they share similar values. They don't have to be the same people. You don't have to like the same things. But similar values on how you live your lives. I think that does help.
Yeah, it's like a Venn diagram, if I can be a real nerd and remind us of any insert maths. There needs to be intersection, but there needs to be separation. There needs to be things you have in common, but there needs to be things you don't have in common. If you're two separate circles, that's not a relationship.
And surely, just with spare time and hobbies and, you know, the weekends and all that thing, you need common interests.
Yeah, you do.
It's just practical logistics, isn't it?
Or even just having the same sense of humour.
Yeah.
You know, it's that connecting piece. And if everything's totally the opposite, I wonder, would the sense of humour match?
Yeah. That's a real deal breaker for me now.
That's a total
deal breaker. No, it doesn't matter because I'm happily married.
Jenny, call me.
No, but the sense of humour is important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a good, just for if there's young people listening now and you're in at the beginnings of a relationship, just get a selection of sitcoms from over the years and sit down. And if your prospective, your suitor, your partner likes what you like, well, then that's a good start. Alison, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ray, thank you very much. You can stay with us because Paddy Casey is behind you and his daughter Saoirse.
He's behind you. I Paddy, a copy of Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, helps as well.
there you go.
Yeah, Saoirse. Earmuffs.
Saoirse's in her 20s.
I know, she is. Paddy. She's the same, we just realised earlier, she's the same age I was when we did that album. Actually.
Right.
Yeah, so. She's on her second album as well now.
That's a nice symmetry,
there's
isn't it?
There's a long gap between... This is very spooky, actually. There's a big gap between your first and your second as well. So.
Yeah. So, Paddy, Living is 20 years on. You're celebrating with a tour. The old band are back together.
We have to finish off the old fights, actually. So that's all that's happening at the rehearsals.
Was there a row when you were on David Letterman? Was that within the band or?
No, that was nothing to do with me. It was to do with me.
Paddy is bending over to get his plectrum.
I feel like I'm telling stories, but the guitar player, which she was a woman that used to play with the Thompson Twins.
Right.
So she used to live in Ireland. So I was chatting to her for ages, actually. Before the thing, but there's a bit in we were doing the song Fear, and there's a bit in Fear, and I was pretty drunk when I recorded it, because Fear was, it was never meant to be an album, so we were just messing, but there's like a weird scratching thing that I'm doing, and it sounds like birds and airplanes or whatever, but your man, the guy who's in charge of the, this story's going on long.
Okay, I'll tell you what, play the song, we'll get it again at some other time, but you were on David Letterman back in the day.
She was going to kill him.
And Paul Schaefer was the musical director. Saints and Sinners, the big hit from Living.
Yes.
Saoirse, Paddy, when you're ready.
Yes. On your marks, get set. We'll go as fast as we can.
Woo!
Short version.
Yeah. Paddy Casey, Saints and Sinners, paddycaseymusic.com. Paddy's all over the place from now until November 25th. Are you touring as well, Saoirse, with them?
Yes.
Great. So Saoirse will be there too.
Saoirse's opening up for some of the shows as well.
Oh, brilliant. So. And is Living available again?
No, Living, I think Sony are bringing it out as a colourly vinyl-y thing.
Colourly vinyl-y
thing. Limited edition.
Right, so. Colourly vinyl-y limited edition thing, Living. Yeah. Okay. Paddy, great to see you. Good luck at the tour. Ray and Alison, thanks again. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.